And the frustrating part is when you have a front row seat in the good old boys club, you're going to see a lot of it. And the reason I call it bullshit is because it's inappropriate language at times, inappropriate behavior, a condescending attitude, double standards, and a lot of times no-win situations.
You are listening to Ambition Out Loud, the podcast for ambitious women tired of being underestimated and undervalued at work. Together, we're tackling workplace sexism, our own insecurities and self-doubt, and getting practical advice to move our careers forward. I'm your host, Nicole Magoo, and I'm an ambitious woman.
Swing, you should have seen that final show. I'm gonna go down swinging, and long after I am gone, when you hear that melody, you'll still remember me. That's how this girl is gonna carry on.
All right. Hello, everyone. Today, I am joined by Meg Sitnick, founder and life experience influencer at Amera Travel Consulting. If you follow her on Instagram, you probably know her best as VIP Travel Girl. Meg is here to help us unravel the good old boys club bullshit women often run into at work. She founded her company in 2004 out of her home. Over the past 15 years, she has grown her business by representing clients in cities throughout the United States and around the world as a travel and hospitality planner and a life experience influencer. Her passions and engagement go way beyond the tourism industry. She's had several advisory chair and committee positions with a number of organizations, including the March of Dimes, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, the American Cancer Society, Wichita Sports Commission, and Meeting Professionals International. By harnessing her gifts for operations and logistics, Meg has given back through many philanthropic and community initiatives, including the participation and production of multiple marathons, triathlons, national fundraising campaigns, and community event development projects. Oh, Meg, I am getting tired just reading that.
You know, goals, right?
Well, now, Meg, you're giving back again through a series of workshops, talks, and discussions really targeted towards professionals and entrepreneurs seeking to harness the power of their personal and professional gifts through your C-suite system for authentic engagement. We're so excited to have you here on Ambition Out Loud. Welcome, Meg.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
All right, so let's jump right in. Why don't you get us started by sharing a little about your own experience dealing with the Good Old Boys Club and why it was laid on your heart to share your story with our listeners?
Well, that's an excellent question to just jump in and start with, because, you know, the thing that most people don't really know about me is that I grew up in small town America, like Wichita, Kansas. But even before that, when my mother got out of the service, she moved us to Winfield, Kansas, very, very small town, maybe 2,000 people. And so just growing up in small town America really just gave me a lot of things to kind of consider and to be mindful of, particularly as a biracial young girl coming up in a more conservative environment. Over the years, my mother did make a transition more towards Wichita, which is a larger community. But I worked in the restaurant and hospitality industry, you know, teaching a practical five-star service to helping cater in-home private events and other smaller events for various restaurants, both on the corporate side and on the private side, in the private sector. And then, of course, again, I was reintroduced to the Good Old Boys Club in a whole new way when I started my business 15 years ago, which was its own unique set of challenges. And then, of course, as I continue to evolve and get engaged within my community, as you've shared with your listeners, or I would say more the event project management role, working with various industries, particularly in the sports sector, you know, it became even more challenging because I was working in a more hyper male environment. So my experience with the Good Old Boys Club has been extensive for sure. But a lot of the challenges that I think that I have faced over the last, we'll say 20 years, have been in these various stages, have been great life lessons and experiences to have because they have made me the woman I am today. So would I want any woman to have to be challenged with any of these things? No, but it's the experiences that we have that make us the women that we are today.
Yeah, that is so true. And thank you for being brave enough to come on and share with us, because this really is a hugely important topic. And like it or not, this Good Old Boys Club is very much still alive and kicking. You know, albeit got a little stronger influence in some industries than others, but I have personal friends in law, finance, commercial real estate. There are so many industries out there where women are still running into these issues, and I'm sure they're eager to hear whatever lessons you have to share with them.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. For sure.
All right. Well, I know at times you've mentioned before that your career has sort of felt a little bit like watching the Trump Omarosa relationship play out on TV. Can you kind of go into that a little bit more and really paint the picture for us of some of what you've dealt with?
That's another excellent question. I know when we chat about this, and I had to think, and I have thought, I want to be clear over time about what I mean in this, is when I watched that dynamic, it's oddly reminiscent of many professional dynamics that I've experienced over the year. You know, being a woman with a seat at the table is one thing, but being a woman of color with a seat at the table brings its own unique set of challenges, because the reality is, ladies, we want that seat at the table. We want the opportunity. And I would say that the one thing that I really identify strongly with is that feeling of responsibility, a duty to step up and step in to that role, potentially, particularly if it's a leadership role. Let's be honest. I mean, we all want those opportunities as women to advance who we are and that narrative. And when an opportunity presents itself, I mean, you've got to go with it. You've got to just take it on as it comes. What's hard at times is when that seat is offered, you know, they give us an idea of what that may look like. But in truth, you quickly realize that it's simply a buffer for the bullshit. And I hope everyone's comfortable, but I'm just going to say it. But, you know, you become a buffer because, you know, a lot of times it's guised under the illusion of diversity and growth within an organization. But the reality is, you know, we as women are often typecasted. And sometimes I feel like when I look at that relationship between those two individuals and their history of their relationship, just on its surface, is very much a typecasted situation and something that I identify with on a number, having been in that situation a number of times through various professional dynamics. And the frustrating part is when you have a front row seat in the Good Old Boys Club, you're going to see a lot of it. And the reason I call it bullshit is because it's inappropriate language at times, inappropriate behavior, a condescending attitude, double standards, and a lot of times no-win situations. But moreover, on the outside, there's always a constant, a request for demonstration of loyalty, for you to step up and show your value, put out your skill sets to the table. And that's really challenging. And I do feel that from my perspective, when I look at that particular dynamic as it parallels to my life, it's frustrating because regardless of what anybody thinks about her or any other woman out there, you know, she did what was right for her in that situation in order to try to grow who she was. Now, the outcomes that came from that, I'm not even getting into all that, but every woman has to make that decision for themselves, but it's not easy. And it's not taken lightly.
Yeah, I feel like one of the things you're kind of alluding at there is just this the extra judgment that comes towards women because of these double standards and some of this bullshit. You know, when you try to do the best with what you have in that circumstance, you're going to have critics lined up on all sides ready to kind of let you know exactly what they think you did wrong, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Straight up. But the reality is they're going to stop and say, and other people will too. And let's be honest, we're all guilty of, I could have done that better. Could you have? Do you know?
Absolutely.
I don't know if I would. And
even like so many times in my career, if I could go back and do it over again, even like 24 hours later, I probably would have done it better. But you're just caught off guard a lot of times.
Absolutely. And you know what? The hardest part that I had to realize is that, you know, having a seat at the table comes at a price. The question is, will you be one to sacrifice or will you be the one to stand up?
Well, you're here to stand up today. And I have a feeling this is a little bit about who you are, right? Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but you come from a really strong military background as far as your family is concerned. So you're used to being around people that are strong, direct men, and people that are willing to stand up.
Hell yeah, girl. Listen, let me just put it out there. Like, I come from a long history of strong servicemen and women, and I'm very proud of them, and I'm very proud of every active duty serviceman member and veteran of our U.S. Armed Services. Like, that's just it. It's no hope squares. That's the standard of excellence in my heart. You know, my grandfather served, my uncle served, my father served, my godfather served, my brother served, my mother served. And I got to tell you, out of all that strength, the one who showed me the greatest strength was my mom. And my mom showed me that even in the most challenging times, there are ways to maneuver your resources to see your way through. You know, she really showed me that every woman has a choice to make, and you can listen to the strength of your inner spirit and drive towards your future. Or, you know, you can choose to let your spirit be diminished, and you can allow them to take control and let that define you. And that's not how we roll. Now, let's also be super clear. That is not to say that I didn't struggle with all the rigors of authority and a pretty regimented lifestyle, because I really did. But, you know, the stresses of her work in a hyper male environment, in the military environment, played a huge role in how my mother really raised me. But looking back on that now, I had no idea what she was preparing me for. And if it's okay, I would like to also take a moment again, you know, to really thank the servicemen and women who are active and also veterans. They hold such a dear place in my heart. And it's one of the reasons why I actually mentor with American Corporate Partners and help servicemen and women who are transitioning from their service roles into their civilian professional roles. So if there's anyone out there that does want to get involved and has the desire to be a mentor or has a resource with their organization to give back, I hope that they will consider American Corporate Partners, because there are a lot of women, service women and veterans who need our support, who need our mentorship and who need that leadership, as well as men too. It just so happens that right now we're helping women maneuver their resources with this conversation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We are always willing to pause to thank our servicemen and women, because God knows we needed them and we continue to need them to be here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So do you have such a special place in your heart for your mom. Are there any particular memories that really jump out at you that you might want to share about sort of how your mom led by example for you?
Well, you know, my mom was brave. And she was brave, because my mother made a decision. So my mom, my godmother, and my godfather were like the trifecta in my life. And they all met while they were stationed at Fort Dix. So I do remember a very, very vivid memory. You know, my mom would be on the phone with my godmother for like hours. You know, back in those days, you had one of those telephones that was in one of those like Tupperware, yellow, brown, green. My mom had one with a long, extra long cord, and it was that yellow. And she would talk with my godmother, and they would walk around the house and chat. And I remember one day she said, okay, we'll see you in a week. And she hung up the phone. And I remember standing in the kitchen and looking at her, and she says, you know what? It's time to make a change. And a week later, we were in Winfield, Kansas. And I think about that instant moment where, not to say that she didn't have conversations that were surrounding this that I had no comprehension of at that age, because I was six. It was a week before my seventh birthday. But I remember that my mom was always very definitive when it came to making a decision that was right for her family in those moments. And she showed extreme bravery by packing up everything and moving her family as a single mother of three kids, packing up our life. And she either gave away, shipped, or sold everything that we owned. Just like that. And she moved us to Kansas. And I think back about the bravery that it took to, and she did it by bus. Don't be fooled. It's not like she hopped on a plane or something. Like, she put us on a bus and she trekked her three kids across country to Winfield, Kansas. Heck, the first time I ever saw a horse or a cow live was in Kansas. So, you know, that took bravery and courage. And I just saw that continuously throughout my life. And even now to this day, she takes on things with a sense of courage and bravery that sometimes I wish I possessed in that way. But I also realize that everyone has a gift. And so she's just leading by example in that way.
That is such an awesome story. And honestly, from where I'm sitting, I see those like ribbons of courage and bravery in you and your willingness to come on here. So I think your mom would be proud.
Thank you.
Ambition Unboxed by Cultivate Inc. is our leadership development program for driven women willing to put in the work to reach their professional goals. I started Ambition Unboxed because I desperately wish something like this had existed 10 years ago. I already knew that I needed to focus on skill development. I just didn't know where to start. I needed someone to point me in the right direction. Ambition Unboxed helps you prioritize your reading list for quality over quantity. And I've carefully curated each lesson to provide an immersive learning experience so that you can master those career advancing skills faster. We've got two different price levels to meet any budget, but why not consider spending like a man and see if your employer will let you expense it? Learn more at ambitionunboxed.com and use code AMBITIOUSME for 10% off your first order. Ambition Unboxed, the leadership skills you need, the subscription box experience you love.
All right, so let's tap into that bravery now. And what are some of the more the more egregious situations that you have found yourself stuck in when you were dealing with the good old boys club? And how did you handle them?
You know, I'm going to start this with a clip that I saw from Taraji P. Henson. And I still don't know what movie this is from, but it was an Instagram story. And it was just a quick clip. And it said, "Who moved my money bag, bitch?" And that's every major story that has had an impact on my life with regards to the good old boys club. It's been related to them trying to move my money bag. Don't play with my money. It's hard out here. Don't play with my money. And so one of the first experiences that comes to mind was during my time working in restaurant and hospitality. So this would be like early 20s. I was 24 or 25. And I needed to have a surgery. Some female stuff, no big deal. And I was just going to be able to go in. And, you know, I was waiting tables. So you get paid that like meager hourly rate and then your gratuities. And then they offer you some really meager insurance and, you know, that's it. But the reality is you have to hustle hard when you are waiting tables. And it's not like I wasn't waiting tables in a nice spot. I was doing all right for myself. Girl was, when I say you're playing with my money, you're playing with my money. So, but my insurance didn't cover the entirety of my bill that I was going to incur from this surgery. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to go get a second job real quick. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to make that extra money. I'm going to go ahead and schedule my surgery. I'm going to be in 2 months. I'm going to be good to go. And I'm going to keep on moving. So I went in to chat with them about the scheduling of my surgery and the use of my insurance. And they straight up told me in not so many words that I wasn't allowed to take on a second job. I wasn't allowed to wait tables at another restaurant to make up the difference. And the reality was, is my coworkers were already doing this, you know, and ultimately they threatened my employment status in a way that it would, They basically threatened my employment status that I wouldn't have that job if I was found to have a second job working for another organization. And that ultimately they really didn't care about my health factor. They really didn't care at all. It all ultimately came down to they were demanding my loyalty, but they weren't offering me an opportunity to increase my financial potential at my current role. And that ultimately, under that threat of firing, there was also the threat of not having any income. So I was being placed in a scenario that was really no win. And the reality is, why couldn't I go have this second job? Like, what was it about me waiting tables here that precluded me from working over here? And why are you telling me no as opposed to my other counterparts? And let me tell you, there were women that were working second jobs, and there were men that were working second jobs. In this instance, it wasn't just about money. It was about they felt like they had more leverage over me. And I felt like I was being taken advantage of as a biracial girl in that role. And that was a really interesting time because my health wasn't a concern or my needs weren't a concern. But the reality is I couldn't even focus on any of that because I had to focus on what was in front of me moving forward. And it was about, I was going to go have to take this second job and I was going to have to do it in secret if I wanted to keep both incomes. And in that, I also had to work in a second location that wasn't necessarily going to afford me the best financial means to my goal because I worked in a very affluent community. I worked in high-level service. So all the restaurants that were going to meet my best needs and meet my skill sets and the awesomeness that I am and that I brought to a restaurant, I wasn't going to be able to go to those other restaurants in my community because I was under threat that if I was seen doing this, then I was going to lose all of my income. So now I was forced to work in an environment for me, which was going to cost me more time, more energy, and more resources than it was going to bring me reward. So instead of getting that surgery in 2 months, I had to wait 4. That put me a greater, it put me a greater financial risk, and it put me a greater health risk. And so those are those moments where you stop and think that it's not just about my money, you're moving everything about my future out of my hands. And I don't take that. But I would say in a secondary scenario that I experienced was when, actually probably about a decade later in my mid-30s, and I was working in a hyper male environment in the sports industry, and straight up, I'm not even going to sugarcoat it, straight up, they changed my income without even talking to me, which is pretty ballsy. And I got to tell you, in those moments, because I had already dealt with instances like this in the past, you know, I got to tell you, my first thought was the audacity and the fact that they didn't even think I'd notice, the blatant insult on my intelligence. I got to tell you, that pissed me off. The devaluing of my worth, that pissed me off too, because the reality is I was bringing some major skill sets to the table, and the amount of money that they had reduced in order to meet their goal was so minimal that it was offensive on a whole different level, not to mention the disloyalty that came with it. And then I also had to realize too that as a woman, like, would they have done that to my male counterpart?
This one blows my mind.
Girl, I mean, in that moment, and here's the thing about it. In that moment when I realized it and I'm looking at it and I'm assessing, I'm realizing that there are questions I can't ask because I can't put people in my work environment at risk. Because now I have to maneuver through that. I also, now I'm in a clear situation that if I don't say something, he's going to get away with it. And that's straight up bullshit. I got other words for it, but even though you've listed this podcast as explicit, I'm still a lady. Okay. But at the same time, I still had a job to do, and the job wasn't even so much about this organization. It was about the big picture of what I was producing and the impact I knew it was having for others. Like, I was looking way beyond what we were doing for the greater good. Yeah. And I had only... Girl, I had to dig deep. I had to dig really deep. And I realized in that moment that how I handled the situation was going to, was going to change everything. But also I realized in this moment, the dynamic of our professional relationship was going to change forever. And that was a huge loss to me because I really value this individual. Yes, a member of the Good Old Boys Club, but I really valued him as an individual and who he was, you know, and that's why I look at this as a perfect parallel to that Trump Omarosa relationship, because I think that there are things that they found commonalities in and found common ground. I felt like she probably was a woman that I did to this person that was able to have conversations or to have him take pauses in moments like, whoa, we are not going to say that because it's not going to work. It's not okay. Mm-hmm. It's inappropriate. Like everybody has that person. And those things were changing. That dynamic was going to change. And moreover, I think what really hurt me was that there were other female leadership in the office, but at the same time, this person had young children of biracial, they're his grandchildren were biracial. And so in my mind, it was kind of like, are you not thinking about what impact this has and what type of standard you're setting? Would you allow this to happen to your granddaughters in 10 years, 15, 20, 30 years? Would that be okay?
I feel like something that you're talking about is sort of touching on one of my big lessons over the course of my career, which is this idea that people don't fall squarely black or white, not referring to race, but like you can have someone that's a solid advocate. You can have someone that's like solidly against you, but in the reality of the workplace, most people fall somewhere on the spectrum and they're going to be your advocate one second and they're going to be the one kind of that's pulling right. the rug out from under you another second.
Yes. And that's a very, that's so important. I'm so glad that you touched on it because I would say that this individual, when I think about the women, the awesome women that helped make the magic happen within this organization, it took time. Like there were already relationships that were previously built for me to get into this place of connection with this organization. And over time, like that relationship had been built. So for me to get connected and consult with them and to be in a situation where I would even take on a role in any type of full-time capacity at the rate, because it was in my mind, I was already like, you know what? I like being here. You know, I like being here. This is fun. You know, I know you don't have a lot of money in your budget. I'm not here to like, I'm doing okay for myself. I still got a business, you know, as long as we can agree to this and these terms, I'm cool. I'm good to go. Like, this isn't about me bringing down a six-figure salary. This is about me being here because I am passionate about this, because I want to be here, because I want to see you succeed. But what was really hard, and to your point, is that when people do things for you to help you grow and to take it to the next level, and then you pull that rug out, that's effed up. That's not even right. But what's interesting is, in a deeper level, to your point, is that there were other women in leadership who presented themselves over time as value, and he would create competition. He would create distrust amongst us, which ultimately just broke down. It ultimately just broke down the integrity of the process and bred disloyalty and just is total Good Old Boys Club bullshit. But the great part about it is each one of these women, myself being one of them, managed to find a way to connect with each other and something specific that allowed us to create trust so that when we were continuously put in those environments, we had already found our way to connect and communicate and create that trust so we could see through the bullshit. We found our way through the storm. And I would say have created deeper relationships and respect for ourselves and our relationships, and then who we are as women in our expertise and our industries, for sure. But the fact that we had to work that hard, that we were pitted against each other, that we have to be in that, under that type of guise, and that stress is not okay. I don't like it. I'm not doing it. I won't do it.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Well, tell me this. So, in your experience, do you think the good old boys club is limited to the older men, the older generations in the workplace, like the traditionalists and the baby boomers who are retiring? Or do you see these same attitudes getting passed down to millennial men and younger generations?
Oh, I would tell you that millennial men are not having this at all, because millennial men are raised with sisters and siblings in a far more progressive life. Like, in the world, in our society, is far more progressive. Now, it's not to say that it's not there, because the good old boys club is strong. But I would say that it is more focused on more mature and those who identify with more traditionalist values. And I just really feel like that the millennials of the world now are the men. The millennial men of this world are really the ones that are stepping up, you know, and are looking for ways to communicate within the workplace that will allow them to bridge the gap, because they do respect women. They do respect the value and the voice that they bring to the table. But the hard part is they're challenged with what's the best way to go about it, because of this lack of perspective and this lack of collaboration from the good old boys club and the whole, I'm going to just call my homie and we're going to get it done. And it's very insular. I feel like millennial men on all ends of the millennial spectrum are challenged of what's that best way? What's that best practice? Like, how do we go about that? Because they do support us. They do want to still mentor. They still want to help grow and engage the narrative is out there. And quite frankly, they like women in leadership. I mean, you can only look at the good old boys club so long and get bored. You're bored. Like, I'm done. That conversation is tired. It's stale. Next. Just saying.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's hopeful.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. So let's jump into this more operationally. You've talked a lot about sort of some of the challenges you've run into. What do you think the most common challenges women are going to run into when dealing with the good old boys club are, and what advice do you have for them in navigating these challenges?
Well, I would say they're really common, and they're things that people see all the time. A lack of respect, you know, just not taking women seriously, that we've actually ascended to these great roles. But it is important for us as women to take command of our strength, to put ourselves out there and say, hey, wait, yo, your way is not the only way. We are here. We have value. We have expertise, and we have leadership qualities. And the lack of perspective, you know, they're going to need to get with the program. You know, women in business and in leadership, they're on the rise. If this is happening, like, it's about taking the blinders off. But again, that's about creating conversation. And there is such a lack of communication. That would be my third point, is that, like, the lack of communication and lack of collaboration, like, not women, looping women in, and still just calling up their best mate to get the job done. Like, these are real challenges that are in the workplace, but women have got to step up and take command of their strength and identify that, and say to them, like, listen, here I am. Like, it's not just your way anymore. You've got to open your eyes that there's so much more going on. And I feel like by bridging that gap and having those conversations and addressing these challenges head on as women, you know, they're going to help these men, because we're going to find there are guys in the good old boys club. I don't just want to say, like, good old boys club and it's all a train wreck, because there's a lot of train wreck there. But there are a lot of men out there who do want to help advance the voice of women, but at the same time, it is our responsibility to tap into those strengths and to step up and to communicate that and to address these things. You can't just look at them and say, oh, these are the problems. There's a lack of respect and a lack of perspective and a lack of communication and a lack of collaboration. Like, we've got to get in there and be willing to step up.
Yeah, I've definitely had to do that at various points in my career when I felt like a meeting was called and I wasn't invited. I've had to at points go back and be like, you should not have had this meeting without me present. Like, this is my direct domain responsibility. And
absolutely.
I think you're exactly right.
For sure. And, you know, what's really interesting, and I point these things out, but I would say in the number one thing, so, like, I'm saying to be clear, you know, and command your strengths and, you know, to be willing to have those conversations and be a part of creating that narrative. But it really does come down to women themselves having a clear understanding of what their wants, their needs, and their expectations are for their professional goals and those objectives. Like, the reality is, if you are in a professional environment and you are you've got an action plan for your professional career, you think you know where you want to go. The reality is, do you have a clear understanding of them? Because how can you expect anyone to acknowledge them straight up? How can they respect that? How can they respect you? How can they have a perspective for you? And how can they want to communicate and collaborate if you've not identified any of those things? It's that simple. So when I say take command and take control, it's really getting crystal clear on what those professional goals and objectives are, for sure. So we have to take ownership. So I'm glad to hear that there have been instances that you can identify with, but I've got a strong sense from you, Nicole, that you know how to get in there and that you've determined, you know, these are your wants, these are your needs, and these are your expectations. And I suppose in reality, here we are today because you've clearly identified what those goals are and those objectives, and you're making them a reality. And I'm excited to be a part of that for sure.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I mean, I think the same goes without, you know, the same goes on your side, because clearly you would not have such a successful business at this point. You know, you have to have that grit and that fire in your belly if you're going to put up with all the bullshit and come out on the other side. That's just the reality of it.
Tis true, my friend. Tis true.
So other than developing grit and like trying to light the fire in your belly, are there any other skills women can focus on building that will help them be more effective at working with or leading men that have this good old boy mindset?
Well, yeah. Okay. So I would say that, you know, learn to cultivate and express an attitude of intention. So again, I know it goes back to our previous point about really having a clear understanding of what your wants, your needs, and your expectations are of your goals and objectives for you. But you have to go in and be able to cultivate that by expressing that attitude of intention and putting that out there to people, particularly when you're in a leadership role. If people don't know where you're coming from, how are they supposed to accept your leadership? If you haven't really communicated that, where are you going to go? So you have to be willing to communicate and establish those boundaries too from the jump. Like if you get into a situation where you don't agree with the direction of a project or a situation may make you feel uncomfortable, whether that's, you know, just from a narrative you might be having with a coworker, because we know that gets a little weird sometimes. But the reality is now, because there is this gray area with technology and email, you've got to be willing to step in and say, hey, I just want to be sure we're on the same page. I want to be sure that we've been really crystal clear on what the boundaries are here, whether that's a concern for professional boundaries being pushed from a workplace relationship perspective, or if this is also a boundary that needs to be established too when you're in a leadership role from a project management perspective. I mean, it is clear that has to be established. And then, of course, finally, I would say take ownership of your expertise and your gifts you bring to the table. Lean into them. You're there for a reason. Hello, these are your gifts. These are your strengths. These are your superpowers. Until you're crystal clear on those and you can communicate them and you can express them with an attitude of intention, like, what are we going to do? So you have to take ownership of those expertise and lean into them at every opportunity you get and command that for yourself and for the people you work with and lead.
Absolutely. We like to say on our Instagram profile, own your awesome. And this is exactly what we're talking about. Don't doubt your strengths.
For sure. For sure. Lean in 100%.
Do you find yourself going down an admin black hole from logging time, invoicing clients, and filing your expenses? I've had to log time for invoicing and budget allocation for the better part of my career. Along the way, I found hacks to shorten the amount of time I spend in the accounting tools, like tracking my billable hours in my Outlook calendar where I'm already spending most of my day, and then logging them all in the accounting system one time at the end of the month. But my favorite hack so far is FreshBooks, hands down. The interface is so easy to use that I can get in and out quickly. Invoices are generated off of timesheets in just a few clicks. They look professional and they're easily shared with clients without ever having to leave the tool. Their app even makes filing expenses easier by letting me upload receipts on the go. Slash your admin time, not your earnings. Start your free trial today at freshbooks.ambitionoutloud.com.
All
All right. So last question for this, and then we'll switch over to some of the listener questions we received. But what advice do you wish someone had given you 10 years ago that might have made things a little bit easier?
Oh, you know, I ponder over this every single day. Like, gosh, if I would have known this. But I think I just need to reiterate probably my final point that I just made is like to really acknowledge your inner spirit and your strength and your power and your voice and like listen to that. Remember that everyone's spirit is different. Its strength is different. You know, what motivates them is different. But you have got to listen to yours. And if it's driving you to speak up, to make a point, to engage, a call to action, if your spirit feels that, then you need to do it. And I wish that there would have been somebody for me. Like, I wish there would have been a mentor for me at that time. I had a lot of bomb women in my life. Like, the list is endless. I got a lot of amazing women in my life. But the reality is, it would have been great to have a professional mentor that gave that to me and just said, like, listen, if you have a call, your spirit is saying do it, go. Don't look back. A lot of those times and those progressions I had to get through on a solo basis, and that's challenging. And I think that's ultimately what drove me to want to connect with you and Ambition Out Loud and your listeners, is because there wasn't someone for me to help navigate these terrains. You know, the one woman in my life that gave me, well, two women, but specifically my mother, my godmother, was wildly influential in my life. But the reality is, if I would have had a professional mentor to help me navigate through some of these challenges, I think I could have used that. I know I could have used that. And I hope that in the future, I will be able to be a resource to other women and men who are looking for or help navigating through some of these pretty tricky situations that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, absolutely. It always is a little bit of an extra struggle when you feel alone while you're going through these things. And so it is definitely the hope by getting women and voices like yours on here that we can help alleviate some of that loneliness for women that might be dealing with some of these things.
Well, and I want to thank you too, like straight up, for having the courage to do this yourself, because I mean, the reality is, you know, it's tough, it's stressful, but you know, you're listening to your inner spirit and you're stepping up and you're doing it. And I'm so grateful for you. And I know that your listeners are grateful for you. And I think you're going to find that there are going to be so many women who identify with what you're doing. And so thank you. And for everything that you are putting into this, and to all the people that you have come on board to share their story, because it takes a team. It takes a team. And so thank you for giving us this platform and this means to share our stories.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. So our first listener question is from Julie in Washington, D.C. And she asks, is it possible to have a career in a traditional field, maybe like law, and not run into the good old boys mindset at some point? How big of a problem is this still?
Well, hey, Julie, thanks for the question. You know, this is a really, really great question too, because, you know, particularly the way you phrased it, is it impossible? I think we're going to run into it. However, I feel like in the more traditional environments, there are so many great entrepreneurs that are rising up and starting businesses that they are really cultivating an organization that creates a workplace culture that prioritizes its people and its core principles. So, you know, I think law is probably where we may see the greatest adjustments, in my opinion, because, you know, so much of what we do and the conversations and the narratives that we are addressing right now, from everything from the Me Too movement to the Time's Up movement, and to a lot of other, the Black Lives Matter. I mean, we could list them on and on and on all the various movements, but there are so many legal ramifications. And it's important that the people who are helping us interpret the law and are helping us create laws that are in the best interest and serve not only women, but people in our communities, you know, they're going to be the ones that are going to have to step up and lead by example, because there is so much gray area and there is so much opportunity. So it's my hope it's my belief, that there will be a lot less in these traditional environments as we continue to grow, as women continue to step into leadership roles, and that we will be able to have to deal with this less and less, or that the women that we're raising and that we're mentoring now will have to deal with this less and less as they mature. So I'm hopeful. It's not gone, but I'm hopeful that one day it's not going to be the topic of conversation. I'm an optimist.
Absolutely. I think optimism is definitely a key skill to being able to, you got to get the fire in your belly and you got to have your eyes focused on the sun.
I got to stay, keep, where's my money bag and stay positive. Like,
yes.
You can't have one without the other.
Awesome. All right. Here's another listener question, and this one is from Lauren in Chicago, and Lauren really wants to tap into your travel expertise, which we haven't gone into too much here, but maybe we'll have to have you back in the future to talk about that a little bit more. And Lauren asks, as a single woman in my mid-20s, I'm making a little more money now, and I'd like to spend more time traveling internationally. Can you recommend a few less well-known destinations where I will still feel safe traveling as a woman alone? And are there any top destinations that I might want to avoid or save for group travel?
Okay. Hey, girl. Hey, Lauren. Thanks for the question. So this is kind of a fully loaded question. But, you know, first of all, I'm a huge advocate for solo travel. Personally, it's my favorite way to travel. And having traveled, you know, extensively by myself, you know, there are a lot of advantages, but it does require extra due diligence, increased level of, you know, situational awareness. Well, I can't say these are top destinations. These are destinations I would say that are not necessarily the first destinations that people think about when traveling alone. Some of my favorites are Costa Rica, big fan, great for the solo beach adventures, Hong Kong, love Hong Kong. And then the great culture, great, you know, I love the balance between culture and sophistication. You get a little adventure too. And then this one's probably going to blow your listeners away. They're going to be like, say what? Canada. You know, Canada is probably our friends to the north. They get forgotten. You know, it's sad, but true. But Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal, these destinations are amazing. And I got to tell you, get out there, go see them, and go explore, let your mind and your life run free. So, and I would say, as far as destinations that you might want to save or put off for a group travel trips, might be destinations that maybe require a little bit more planning. And I would say, like, China is great for a group itinerary. At that point, you're already traveling abroad, seeing a larger, more expansive destination with a multi-day itinerary would be great for group travel. Additionally, any time that you might be interested in doing, while you can still do this, and wine travel is fantastic for solo travel, let's be honest, connecting through wine tours through various parts of France would be fantastic with a small group or even a medium-sized group. So the number one thing I would say to focus on from a solo traveler perspective, or in any type of decision on where to travel, is what type of experience are you looking for? What time of year are you seeking to travel? And what are you ultimately seeking to get from your greater travel experience?
Oh, that's great. Thank you. I'm sure she's going to love that answer. All right, Meg, this has been so great. I'm so honored and just really appreciative that you were willing to come on and talk to us and talk to me and our listeners today. And I know it really takes guts to come on this show and to speak so openly about your personal experience. So thank you for showing up today and for giving us a place to have this conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. It's been a great time. And I look forward to us continuing to grow and evolve our friendship. And I look forward to helping support you in any way, and your listeners any way that I can. And it's been exciting, and I can't wait to see what's next.
All right. Obviously, we're all about women supporting women around here. Do you have any special offers you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Absolutely. Through the month of April, for a few select dates, I will be offering a promotion on my Mindful Wellness with Meg. And it's really just a quick shot accountability opportunity to get crystal clear on some of those wants, needs, and expectations that you may have for your lifestyle experience goals. So really think of it more as lifestyle experience goal setting and accountability. And there's a link that you can share in your show notes to this Calendarly event. So, or my Calendarly link. I'm going to get this right, girl. So they can click on that link in the show notes, and it'll take them directly to the available times and dates for April.
That is great. And we will definitely put that information in the show notes for everyone that is driving or, you know, otherwise not available to take that down right now. Last question. Where can our listeners find you online, and what's the best way for them to connect if they have any follow-up questions?
Sure. You can send follow-up questions to the VIPTravelGirl@gmail.com. They're also welcome to follow me on Facebook at facebook.com/the VIP Travel Girl. And on Instagram, I'm VIP Travel Girl. So feel free to come follow along on my Facebook, my Instagram, and to share and explore. I'd love to connect with you. And of course, if you have any questions or additional comments, like I said, feel free to email me at thevitravelgirl@gmail.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Meg. And also, guys, if you just want to see what fabulous destination she happens to be in this week, you know, she's always posting great travel pictures of her own exploits as well. So.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Thank you, Meg.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
That's our episode for today, and thank you for listening. We want to hear from you. This podcast is all about showing up and helping to serve you so that you can accomplish your goals. And we want to celebrate you. So if you head over to ambitionoutloud.com, you can record your own work wins for us to share on a future podcast episode, or record questions, things you'd like to have us address in future episodes. So that's ambitionoutloud.com, or you can always just email us at info@cultivateinc.com. Ambition Out Loud is produced by Cultivate Inc. LLC, with music today by Steve Rice Music. Stay in touch. You can connect with us on Instagram at ambition_unboxed. New episodes will be available every other week. I do, after all, have clients to serve and a company to run. If you enjoyed today's episode, please head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast. It does a lot to help us appear in rankings. And don't forget to share it with a friend. Until next time, remember, your ambition is a beautiful thing.
Like a boxer in the ring, I'll give my everything until I hear that final bell. Well, I'm gonna go down swinging, whether I'm right or wrong. I know without a doubt, until the lights go out.